When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Heal Podcast. I'm Kelly Noonan Gorris, and every week I speak to the leading doctors, healers, spiritual teachers, and scientists to find out what is truly possible when it comes to healing. I also interview real people with extraordinary healing stories. My philosophy is what's possible for one is possible for all. And I've discovered on my journey that so much more is possible than we can begin to imagine. I've come to believe that learning to follow my intuition or my gut instincts might be my greatest superpower. And what you'll learn from this episode is that if your gut microbiome is out of balance, your mental clarity and intuition might be muddled with distortion. Enter Ritual Symbiotic Plus, a 3-in-1 supplement with clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support a balanced gut microbiome. Let's be real. Probiotics can't help with most of your gut decisions. That's your spiritual work. But if your gut needs a little support, Ritual has your back. I took Ritual supplements throughout my pregnancy and love them. That is why I'm thrilled they created Symbiotic Plus, which gives me all the pre, pro, and postbiotics I need for a healthier gut lining and happy microbiome. Ritual invested in a study modeling the human colon, which showed Symbiotic Plus significantly increased microbial diversity and the growth of beneficial bacteria. I just trust Ritual. There's no more shame in your gut game. Symbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide your insides. Get 40% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/heal. This offer is only available through January 31st. Start Ritual or add Symbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/HEAL for 40% off.
Okay, on today's episode of the Heal Podcast, I have Dr. Stephen Gundry. I'm so excited to have him on the show. Became a huge fan after the Plant Paradox. Dr. Gundry is one of the world's top cardiothoracic surgeons and a pioneer in nutrition. He hosts top-rated health show, the Dr. Gundry Podcast, is the founder and director of the International Heart and Lung Institute Center for Restorative Medicine, and founder of Gundry MD. He's the author of many New York Times bestsellers, namely The Plant Paradox and The Longevity Paradox, along with national bestsellers, The Plant Paradox Family Cookbook, The Energy Paradox, Dr. Gundry's Diet Evolution, and Unlocking the Keto Code. And he has had more than 300 articles published in peer-reviewed journals on using diet and supplements to eliminate heart disease, diabetes, autoimmune disease, and multiple other diseases. And we will be talking about his new book, Gut Check, Unleash the Power of Your Microbiome to Reverse Disease and Transform Your Mental, Physical, and Emotional Health, which is out on January 9th of 2024. So, Dr. Gundry, thank you for coming.
Kelly, thanks for having me. It's great to see you.
Yeah, great to see you. So I just got done reading The Gut Check, and it left me incredibly hopeful because there's so many of the diseases. I mean, obviously on Heal, on our platform, we believe that so much can be healed naturally and in reconnection with nature and how we are so beautifully and intelligently designed. And as your book explains, you know, we're really more of a community between bacteria and human cells. And so I'd love for you to just kind of talk about your latest book, Gut Check, and we'll just dive into what's possible when we get to know our gut buddies and what they need to thrive.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Hippocrates, the father of medicine, 2,500 years ago, said that all disease begins in the gut. And I've spent now 25 years in my new career trying to figure out, you know, how he knew this. And the guy was right. And since your show is about healing, I think one of the things that impressed me was that he talked, and it's a very California speak, he felt that all of us had a green life force energy. And that wanted us to, or any animal, to have perfect health. But there were extrinsic factors that would suppress this expression of green life force energy. And he thought that the purpose of a physician was to be a detective and to find out what these external factors were and teach the patient to remove those factors. And then the green life force energy would take care of the healing. And it sounds really woo-woo in California and hokey, but in fact, I think he was absolutely right. Now, I think a big piece of that is finding out that there is this life form that lives within us, which is the microbiome. And that microbiome, the more we learn about it with literally every passing day, the more that microbiome is interested in our health, because we happen to be the home of all these gut buddies. And it would be in their interest to keep us as healthy as possible, because that's where they live. And I mean, the exciting thing is that there is this true what's called trans-kingdom communication between the kingdom of bacteria, even fungi, and the animal kingdom, us in this case. And there is talk between the two. And it's actually exciting to know they're there. I mean, we didn't even know they were there until a few years ago.
It's so exciting. And everything you talk about, the reason I say it's so hopeful, because what you're learning is, you know, the root of all of these autoimmune diseases that have popped up in the last 30 years that were extremely rare, if not unknown altogether before that, kind of stem in the health of our gut, and specifically our gut lining, which is made up of this bacteria and reliant on this healthy communication system between our human cells and immune cells and everything. And so it's just, it's fascinating, because I always love the micro and macro of it all. And to know that we are human beings, we do not do well in isolation. We are meant to be in community, villages that, you know, help each other raise the kids and hunt and gather together and commune and you know, family units that have healthy communication. You know, isolation, we die. So it's just so interesting to talk about how important we need to live in symbiosis with nature, and you know, there's trillions in our gut that, you know, dictate our health, our mental health, our physical health. So why don't you talk a little bit about leaky gut, as what it is and what kind of things you've discovered that it leads to, which is wild, even heart disease, which we would never made that association before.
Right. You know, one of the interesting things is that, you know, Hippocrates said all disease comes from the gut. I think what he probably would have said, if he knew what he knows now, we know now, is that all disease comes from a leaky gut. And you're right, autoimmune disease. When I was in medical school, we had tests to diagnose autoimmune diseases like Hashimoto's, thyroiditis, or lupus, or rheumatoid arthritis. But it was so rare that when we ordered these tests, they were called funny tests. Literally, they were called funny tests. Let's order the funny tests, because these things were so rare that, you know, you ran out of everything else and say, let's order the funny tests, and maybe one of them will be positive. Now, I mean, almost every commercial on TV throughout the day and night is all these happy people with an autoimmune disease who are on a sailboat or dancing or whatever, and they're on biologic drugs. They're on transplant drugs, which I used as a transplant surgeon. And look at how happy they are. And it's like, when I, and 80% of my practice now is autoimmune disease. And when they come in on these drugs, and they obviously want to get off of these drugs, I said, look, I didn't do a heart transplant on you. What the heck are you doing on a transplant drug? And it's, yeah, what the heck are you doing on a transplant drug? So you're right, it's an epidemic. And what's interesting, and I've written about this before, but particularly in gut check, every human being with an autoimmune disease has leaky gut. Now, leaky gut is not pseudoscience. Like I write in gut check, you'd ask me 15, 20 years ago, I would have went, it's kind of pseudoscience. But thanks to work like Alessio Fasano, who's a professor now at Harvard, we know how leaky gut happens. We can measure the degree of leaky gut. We can find the culprits in leaky gut. And the good news is when we teach people to get certain foods out of their diet, we can measure leaky gut going away. In fact, just before we came on, I was with a patient who used to have two markers for lupus a year ago. She's and had wide open leaky gut. And after 6 months, her two markers for lupus are gone. And her leaky gut, it's not all the way healed, but tremendous progress that we can see. She can see it. And it's like, wow, I mean, I just have to eat certain things and avoid certain things. And my green life force energy will fix it. And yeah, that's exactly right. So that's what's so exciting, that there, you know, there is a fix. And that's what gut check's all about. And last, you mentioned, I'm, among other things, a pediatric heart transplant surgeon. I don't do it anymore, but that was my career. And one of the things we noticed early on in these children was that they began to get, as they got older, they got coronary artery disease. They got plaque on the inside of their blood vessels. And this plaque was kind of diffuse all along the blood vessels. In the good old days, people would develop a blockage and it was easy to fix. We could jump past with a bypass or put a stent in. Nowadays, most people who develop heart disease have just plaque all the way along. And we noticed, I noticed, that it looked just like these kids who were getting plaque all the way along. And that's because the blood vessel of the new heart is foreign, and the immune system, even though we do a good job with transplant drugs, is still seeing this foreign surface every day and was gradually attacking it. And so now when we see patients with this diffuse coronary artery disease, you go, wait a minute, that looks like something's attacking the wall of the blood vessel. And sure enough, there's increasing evidence that I talk about in gut check that this is an autoimmune disease, coronary artery disease, and it's coming from the same process of leaky gut, and it's fixable.
Thank God. Yeah. Is just on that note, is so you in a transplant you use the immunosuppressing drugs so that the, you know, your body does not reject this foreign organ. And so you suppress the immune system so that, but then obviously you can't continually suppress the immune system. So at some point, like, have you guys cracked the code on how, you know, this plaque doesn't build and your body can eventually, you know, fully accept and integrate this organ, or is just something we have to manage after?
Well, you know, it's interesting. My partner, Leonard Bailey, who is recently deceased, believed with some good belief system that the earlier we got a new heart into a baby within the first days of life, that there was hope that that baby would say, oh, you know, that heart's been around for most of my life and it doesn't look as foreign as if we put it in when they were, you know, 10 or 20. And yes, we have some of these kids who are now in their 20s and early 30s who are actually not on a lot of immunosuppression, which is encouraging that maybe we were right. But yeah, you never get to a point where you can back off completely yet. How's that?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I love, obviously, you know, as a pediatric cardiothoracic surgeon, that's like some high pressure stuff. So I commend you for your work. But I love that you were so humble in your book, as you know, you were like, look, I know so much more than just I did when I wrote the plant paradox, you know, and when I wrote the plant paradox and discovered that, I realized I was wrong about a lot of things in medical school or whatever it was. It's so
right.
It's constantly, you know, we're learning and evolving and our awareness is expanding. So I love how you're humble and acknowledging that and knowing like we're learning everything new, you know, so much new every day. But I get so frustrated with these pharmaceutical commercials, and I'm not anti-drug. They all have a place, especially, you know, bridging acute situations.
Right.
But I love just again, bringing awareness to the audience that at the root of these autoimmune diseases is leaky gut, which means that even something like pieces of broccoli leak into the blood system, your bloodstream, and then your immune system sees it as a foreign object and you develop a sensitivity to something that's normally really healthy. So, and what, you know, so when you are presenting with psoriasis and lupus and IBS and all of these things that really have the root in leaky gut, and you're just treating the symptom by suppressing your immune system. Like, I just want everybody to realize, like, long-term, that is not a good idea to suppress your immune system. And so to find doctors like you who know how to test for leaky gut and then know how to put you on the gut check program so that you can heal from the inside out, because honestly, it's just not the answer. And, you know, we're talking about the health of our microbiome as the base of our health. And is it true that pharmaceutical drugs are going to maybe help in one area, but then throw off the you know, not symbiosis of your gut ultimately, you know, right?
Yeah, and, you know, and I talk about that in the book. We for instance, it's no surprise to anybody that we have an epidemic of depression and anxiety, you know, in our country. And there's lots of reasons we can talk about why that might be. But one of the interesting things is we know that antidepressants, which are serotonin reuptake inhibitors, SSRIs, work by actually changing the gut microbiome to produce more, if you will, anti-anxiety and antidepressant communication systems, chemicals, if you will, that actually is how they work. And we can actually take germ-free mice and give them the poop of depressed mice, and they will get depressed. And it's like, wait a minute, these little one-cell organisms are, you know, in charge of so much that we think our big, you know, smart brain should be in charge of. But in fact, everything kind of comes down to the microbiome, our gut buddies.
Yeah. And that biodiversity and richness. And you talk about in your book how you can literally pinpoint for certain diseases, there's a lack of a, you know, culture of bacteria.
Yep.
Or there's an overabundance of one that's not supposed to be overabundant. And so it really is that balance. And, you know, it's our environments have become so laden with chemicals because of glyphosate and pesticides and, you know, these antibiotics, these things that are killing not only the bugs in the plant, but the bugs in our gut, you know?
Correct.
And so, but again, the hopeful thing is that you've come up with a program and, you know, and then you can support it with all of the correct blood tests so you know what's going on and you know how to treat it and fix leaky gut. Do you believe that there's, you mentioned MS a few times in your book. Is there anything that you feel can't be healed through healing the gut?
So far, so good. Again, I think most things are fixable. Now, there are some people that are way down the line in cancer. There's some people that are way down the line in Alzheimer's dementia, that even my friend Dale Bredesen, who wrote The End of Alzheimer's, would say we missed our window of opportunity. But it's really striking to me that if you get there before it's too late, that just about everything can turn around. I see patients 6 days a week, and literally, and the seventh day I'm at Gundry MD, my supplement and food company. So I work every day, Saturdays and Sunday. I see patients, and it's like, what the heck? What kind of idiot are you? You know, I'm in my 70s. And I don't need to do that. Well, I do need to do that, because I literally get to see miracles every day. And some of those miracles are just, I mean, now I know they're not miracles. It's this green life force energy. It's so hokey. That's taken over.
The man. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he knew this. And I guess we're just catching up with what he knew. But yeah, so.
I love it. Yeah, you're so passionate in your book. And you're just like, I do work 6-7 days a week because so much can be done. You mentioned cancer. Obviously, cancer is running rampant, has been for many years, but seems to be exponentially just growing every year. You talk about, obviously, how there's a clear correlation between health and, you know, dysbiosis of the gut and cancer. And also, you go even deeper and say, you know, there's tests you can do to, based on the balance of your gut and what's going on in there, you can determine which course of cancer treatment is going to be the most effective for you. Or there's things that you could do to support your guts to make the cancer treatment more. We touch on that because I feel like so many people are diagnosed with cancer and there's so much fear around it. They just get on this, like, you know, conveyor belt of speed of just right into chemo and radiation. But can you talk about just maybe the pause and the testing and the support they should be doing with treatment, if you can?
Well, yeah, one of the interesting things that I talk about in Gut Check is there are specific cancer microbiomes. There is a breast cancer microbiome. There's a pancreatic cancer microbiome. There's a lung cancer microbiome. And now, nobody's quite sure, is this a cause and effect? Did this set of microbes cause the cancer? Are they there as innocent bystanders? Are they promoting the cancer? But like you alluded to, we know that particularly, I mean, there are some very interesting biologic anti-cancer drugs, which immunotherapies, which very promising, but sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. And there's now evidence that manipulating the microbiome, sometimes with targeted antibiotics, can make someone who wasn't responsive to one of these new biologics suddenly responsive just by changing the mixture of microbes. And in fact, one of my patient's family members just experienced this, had lung cancer that was absolutely unresponsive to these new agents. And they looked at this patient's microbiome and said, there's some, you know, interesting bugs here, and let's try targeted antibiotic therapy and let's try again. And lo and behold, went from absolutely no response to the tumor is shrinking like anything. Wow. Just by targeting. Didn't have enough gut buddies, is the nice way of putting it. Yeah. So, I mean, who could have imagined, really, that changing the microbiome could make chemotherapeutic agent work? And don't get me wrong, I have nothing against chemotherapy and radiation therapy, but I think we're neglecting that other piece that really should not be neglected.
Yes.
If you know me, you know that I've been using clean products for decades. But with skincare and cosmetics, I've often had to settle for mostly clean because the pure organic products are just not as effective. But I'm happy to report that semi-clean skincare is a thing of the past because I've discovered Purity Woods. Purity Woods' mission is to provide people with the cleanest and most effective healthy aging and longevity products out there. All of their products are USDA certified organic, non-GMO, free of anything toxic or artificial, and of course, cruelty-free and never tested on animals. They're age-defying dream cream is a game changer. Its powerful formula contains revolutionary maple leaf extracts, plus over 25 unique and potent ingredients that help eliminate fine lines, wrinkles, age spots, and uneven skin tone. Maple leaves contain anti-inflammatory antioxidants and hydrating properties, which can help soothe irritated or inflamed skin while also plumping, brightening, and nourishing it. Turn back time on the appearance of your skin with Purity Woods age-defying dream cream. Purity Woods is currently offering 17% off site-wide, but we have an additional 10% discount for our listeners for a total savings of 27%. Go to puritywoods.com/heal or enter code HEAL at checkout for an additional 10% off your first order. That's PURITYWOODS.com and enter code HEAL for a total of 20% off your first order. Funny story. Right before I was set to record this ad, I was looking through my work tote because I was feeling a little dehydrated. And I thought to myself, I could use some electrolytes right now. Well, nothing in my tote because I had just cleaned it out, so I checked my purse. At the bottom of my purse was a hydration pouch from Needed. And I cracked a smile, smirking how the universe has the most brilliant sense of humor. The little pouch of electrolytes was exactly what I needed. Started by two mothers who are also nutritionists, Needed offers radically better nutrition for mothers and women everywhere, from fertility and conception to pregnancy, postnatal, and beyond. They even have supplements for male fertility. Needed is recommended and used by more than 4,000 women's health experts, from nutritionists to midwives, functional medicine doctors, and OBGYNs. I wish I had Needed 5 years ago when I was pregnant with my daughter, but I have it now, and I'm grateful for Needed supplements like egg quality support, CoQ10, and prenatal omega-3 so I can stay healthy and fertile for as long as possible. Head over to thisisneeded.com and use code HEAL for 20% off your first month of Needed products. That's thisisneeded.com and use code HEAL for 20% off your first month of Needed products.
So let's then pivot over to antibiotics, because I love that you mentioned back in the day when there was really targeted antibiotics, and then they got this broad spectrum antibiotics, and that, I think, the overuse of antibiotics is leading to a lot of these leaky gut and autoimmune conditions, because we've killed off, you know, it's just a go-to, even if it's like a viral thing, people are taking it. It's like not. So for those of us, I guess, talk about antibiotics and, you know, kind of what you would advise around those. Obviously, if you have an infection, like, you're not going to not take an antibiotic, but is there something that we can do to offset the damage done on the gut buddies, or are there, you know, should we be asking for more of a specific targeted, you know, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, first of all, we have to realize that almost all of our sore throats, coughs, runny noses are caused by viruses, and antibiotics do not treat viruses. Now, I'll tell you an interesting story from medical school back in the dark ages. We would rotate through a pediatrician's office, and all little kids, of course, would come in with a runny nose and a sore throat, and they'd take a swab looking for strep throat. And strep throat's, you know, bad and it should be looked for, but then the mother would be sent home with an antibiotic and a decongestant. And I would turn to the pediatrician. I said, well, wait a minute, you just took the swab. Aren't you going to wait for, you know, 48 hours to find out if this is, you know, strep throat, beta hemolytic strep? He said, no, Sonny, don't. Look, the mother needs something to do. And the kid will get better no matter what, I promise. But I got to give her something to do. And this is something for mom to do. And I said, but you know that, you know, that's not right. I was naive. And he says, if I don't give it to her, then my competitor, you know, in the office next door will be happy to give it to her. And that was a real eye opener to me that this is, you know, this is in a way a business. And you're right. One of the things, I actually was a medical student when broad spectrum antibiotics were first introduced in the middle of the 70s. And they were miraculous because before we had to figure out, well, what was the bug that was causing it? We had to culture, and a lot of times it wouldn't culture, wouldn't grow. But when broad spectrum, we literally, you know, is carpet bombing, cluster bombs, napalm. And you just threw this antibiotic and we didn't have to work in a way. And it was really miraculous. Now, we didn't know, because we didn't even know these guys were there, that it also killed off our entire microbiome. And so that's that. Now, number two, almost simultaneously, it was discovered that if you gave animals broad-spectrum antibiotics, that they would grow fatter and faster. Seriously. And it changed their microbiome. And so it became routine to give animals antibiotics, broad-spectrum antibiotics. Little did we know that those antibiotics would be in the flesh of these animals. And so when we ate the flesh, we would get a dose of antibiotics. And in fact, 70% of all antibiotics in this country are given to animals. And recently you saw a new study by, I think, the Environmental Working Group, that almost all of the fast food that we eat in this country has veterinary antibiotics in that burger or that chicken. Even though it's illegal to give antibiotics to chickens, there's a loophole that is used that we could talk about. But, and 100% of all these foods have Roundup, have glyphosate in them. So we're just, and glyphosate was patented by Monsanto as an antibiotic. It was not patented as a weed killer. And so it's like, holy cow, we decimated our microbiome. So the point is, please, 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 if you got a runny nose, a sore throat, a cough, it's a virus, please don't take antibiotics. I was, you know, a pediatric heart surgeon, and I got, you know, bug of the week in our children's hospital, and that's an occupational hazard. And I, you know, I was eating, you know, Cipro for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and, you know, whatever antibiotic du jour, and my poor microbiome was gone. So don't do that.
But look, you're here now, and
exactly,
right?
It's totally repairable.
Yeah, it's a shock to me that I'm healthy today, because I grew up, I was a very picky eater, and I was on the road a lot. And so, I mean, I grew up on McDonald's and Kraft macaroni and cheese. And
oh, yeah.
All sorts of fun processed food. But like you said, you can switch it. You can heal your leaky gut in your microbiome.
Yeah, it's fixable. That's the exciting news. It literally is fixable. And it's really fun to watch it happen. I'll give you another funny story, and not funny, and heartwarming story. Usually in my office, my PA sees the patient for the first visit, and then I see the patient usually in 6 months or 3 months, depending. And so I've read the previous note, and I have the new labs, and saw a woman in her mid-50s. And I introduced myself, and I said, now just tell me a little bit about yourself. And she said, well, I'm here because I have Hashimoto's thyroiditis. And I had seen her labs from before, and she did have markers for Hashimoto's. And her new labs, she's negative for Hashimoto's thyroiditis. She doesn't have any antibodies against her thyroid. So I said, well, you don't have Hashimoto's thyroiditis. And she says, great. Now, you know, what a quack. And I said, Well, yeah, you used to have Hashimoto's, but you don't anymore. And she's, what? And, you know, I show her the labs and she just bursts into tears and, you know, gives me a big hug. And I said, well, that's why we do this. That's why you're here. You don't have it anymore. But I was told I always have it. And, you know, I have to take, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, it's, I mean, it's just really exciting.
Yeah, you're so funny. That's a good one. So like for people listening that have, you know, psoriasis, eczema, all of these things that are so common now, you know, what your restorative medicine, I mean, we need to be seeing functional medicine doctors or integrative medicine. Like who should these people be seeking out that, but not everybody might know the right blood tests to take. Like, so what would your advice be to guide someone to the right practitioner that can lead them to the promised land or to just get follow the gut check?
Well, it's interesting. About 90% of people who follow the plant paradox or gut check, which is the new improved plant paradox 2.0, resolve their issue, their gut issue, their autoimmune issue. It's really actually quite remarkable. Wow. But you're right. A lot of my patients are females who have been to 5, 6, 8 different places looking for someone to, number one, believe them. And most of the time, the traditional tests that docs will do, they won't find anything. And they'll toss it off. Oh, you know, it's all in your head. Your blood work is great. You know, go away. Or here's an antidepressant. Or you're just wacko. And it's not true. I have a wife and two daughters and female dogs. And, you know, you guys need to be heard. And you got to keep looking for someone who will actually take your complaints seriously. And that's where you start. So there you go.
MS again. You mentioned it a couple times. Can you tell us some hopeful stories about resolving MS? How long did it take? Was it just all about leaky gut? Because I know people personally that are struggling with it. And I believe there's so much more you can do than, you know, just resigning to taking a pill for the rest of your life and this degenerative, you know, fate that is just so depressing.
No, it's very, very fixable. Terry Walls is a friend, good friend of mine, who's a good example of how she, you know, reversed her MS. I do see a lot of MS patients. One story I told in the Plant Paradox that in a way got a bit of flack, but I like to tell the story. She's a young woman in Santa Barbara, where my other clinic is. And I knew her her parents, and she had her MS was fairly early on. She would have her left arm would be numb and her left face would be numb. And it was MS. She had lesions in her brain. And so put her on the program and this resolved and her lesions went away. And then, I don't know, a couple years into this, she calls me up because I know her family. And she said, my left arm is numb today and my face is numb. And I go, what did you do? And she said, well, yeah, I went out and, you know, I was drinking and I had some pizza. And, you know, and I said, well, what did you expect was going to happen? And she said, well, I got to have a life.
Want to live.
Yeah. And I said, great. Have a life in a wheelchair. And people go, man, you are cruel. You are mean. You are insensitive. Well, that snapped her. And she's never looked back. She's happily married, had a child, did not exacerbate with pregnancy or after the pregnancy. And it's work. It's clearly work. One of the things that has been impressive to me that I write about in Gut Check is there's a class of lectins. And for those listening, lectins are part of the plant defense system against being eaten. Plants do not want to be eaten. They have a life, and they want their babies, their seeds, not to be eaten in most cases. So they produce these compounds that are really good at producing leaky gut, and they're really good at producing injuries to nerves. Insects were the first plant predator, and the idea was to paralyze an insect. So there's a class of lectins that are called aquaporins, water pores. And these aquaporins are also in us. We have them in the wall of our gut. We have them in our blood-brain barrier. And we have them in our myelin sheath, which is what is attacked in MS. And interestingly enough, there is, and I've delayed writing about this because people think I'm crazy anyhow, but there's an aquaporin in spinach. And a number of my MS patients have antibodies to the spinach aquaporin, and a lot of them are big spinach eaters. Most people don't have antibodies to spinach aquaporins, but it's remarkable to me that a lot of my patients, once we take spinach out of their diet who have MS, we make a lot of progress. Same way with people with irritable bladders. Same sort of thing. Spinach.
Interesting.
So sorry, folks.
Well, I mean, you know, that's like when I first read Plant Paradox, it made a lot of sense, but then I was very resistant. I was like, I can't eat a tomato seed. Like, this is from nature. We are like a tomato off the vine in your garden. There's nothing better, you know? So, and then as you talk about, oats, you know, we were told for so long that eating oatmeal lowers cholesterol. And so there's just, it's like, and then I think there's a list in the back that say, you know, maybe a food to avoid it, bananas and lemons. I'm like, these are like, yeah, these are staples, yeah, in my home. Like, what can you like?
Yeah. So, you know, we do a lot of food sensitivity tests on our people with leaky gut, because a lot of times, surprisingly, if you have gaps in the wall of your gut, then potentially undigested food particles that you eat a lot of can go through the wall of your gut, and your immune system, your white blood cells, 80% of your white blood cells are lining your gut. And they go, wait a minute, let's use broccoli, for example. That's a piece of broccoli. I've never seen a piece of broccoli. That's foreign. I've never seen it. And I'm going to make an antibody to it so I remember it. And if I ever see it again, I'm going to cause inflammation and attack it. And so we test 100, 200 different foods that people eat. And in the back of the book, I kind of list the top 12 that show up over and over and over again in people. And a lot of them surprise me, a lot of them surprise my patients. Like you mentioned, lemons. Lemons are a mischief maker. Now, you can have a lime and you'll be fine. Almond flour, even blanched almond flour, shows up a lot on my autoimmune patients. Bananas, they're a tropical fruit. We were never exposed to bananas, and besides, the ripe bananas, pure sugar, but it shows up all the time. One of the other ones that shocked me was ginger. Ginger is supposed to be really gut healing, and yet lots of people have antibodies to ginger, and that was another big surprise to me.
But if you heal your leaky gut and those things in the gut, and then there's no need for antibodies, can they become a healthy food again for you?
Yeah, that's exactly right. A lot of times the carrot on the stick that I hold out for people is, look, let's get these things out of your diet. I know you miss them, but let's heal your leaky gut. We'll know when it's healed or getting close. And then let's retest you for your antibodies to this. And it's actually exciting to see that we can give these foods back, because your immune system can be retrained. They can forget how much they hated lemons, for that matter.
Bananas.
And bananas.
As I was reading, what do we put in our smoothies? No.
Hey, moms and dads out there, did you know 93% of kids don't eat enough fruits and vegetables? That's staggering. But also, I know firsthand how hard it is to get the good stuff in the belly of a picky eater. That's why I'm grateful I found Hiya, the pediatrician-approved super-powered chewable vitamin for kids. Their multivitamin is made from a blend of 12 farm-fresh fruits and veggies and supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals that help support a healthy immune system, energy levels, brain function, mood, teeth, bones, and more. Hiya supplements are made with zero sugar and zero gummy junk, yet they taste great and are perfect for picky eaters. They have a kid's multivitamin, a probiotic, and the new bedtime essentials, which helps with brain health, calm, and focus, and helps your child relax before bed and wake up refreshed. My daughter loves Hiya because her vitamins come in cute reusable glass jars with stickers so she can decorate. And then every month, Hiya sends a no plastic refill pouch of fresh vitamins, so they love the planet as much as we do. We've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, you must go to hiyahealth.com/heal. This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to hiyahealth.com/heal and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults.
As I was reading, when you talk about the blue zones and how, perhaps Dan Buettner, I don't know how you say his last name, potentially was biased because he was vegetarian, vegan, and he was going to these locations that there was heavy vegetarianism. And where does meat come in? I thought of the blood type diet because I want your opinion, maybe talk a little bit about your discoveries with meat and red meat, because there's so much conflicting information out there. But for me personally, I'm very, I learned about bioindividuality and the blood type diet really resonated with me because I've tried to be vegetarian multiple times and probably haven't done it well because, I was eating probably processed foods in my 20s when I tried to be, but I was so tired. I was so, fatigued, and I'm O blood type. And I just, I eat very clean sources of red meat, organic, all that antibiotics, all that stuff, grass fed. And I don't eat a ton of it. But I feel like I do a lot better. And so there's times when my body really tells me it needs it. So I'd love for your, to hear you talk about that for people because I don't eat a lot of chicken, and if I do, it's not going to be the bones and all the stuff that's actually helpful for you. So I don't know. Talk to us about meat and that whole paradox.
Yeah. The blood type diet was actually an anti-lectin diet. Dr. D'Amato based all of his recommendations on avoiding lectins, but until the plant paradox, avoiding lectins, I guess, wasn't sexy. And so he based it on blood type. Now, it's true that certain blood types, particularly type A, we test blood types by mixing lectins into your blood and see what agglutinates and stick together. Now, lectins are really good at making blood cells stick together. And that's how we test blood type. And lectins were discovered back in the late 1800s for this purpose. So what he found was type O's are the most common. And so telling people that you're a hunter and you should be eating meat resonates. It certainly resonated with Dr. Adkins, but in terms of a blood type that correlates with eating meat or chicken, that part he was really brilliant about lectins, but the blood type doesn't have anything to do with whether you're a meat eater or not. Now, in the book, I bring a whole lot of new information to choices of animal products. And just to preface this, I have no dog in this fight. I was raised in Omaha, Nebraska. Nebraska is the beef state. But in the plant paradox, I talked about this sugar molecule that is in beef, lamb, and pork, and is also in milk, called NU5GC. And we have a sugar molecule in us called NU5AC. It's also present in chicken and fish and shellfish. When we eat beef, lamb, or pork, or drink milk, we make antibodies to NU5GC. NU5GC and NU5AC are identical molecules except for one molecule of oxygen. They're otherwise indistinguishable. And yet, we actively make antibodies to this sugar molecule. Well, so what? Well, we've known for many, many years that there is a strong association between meat eating and heart disease, cancer, diabetes, arthritis, dementia. Strong association. Now, association does not mean causation. I'm the first to agree with that. So the new information is the lining of our gut wall, the lining of our blood vessels have a lining of sugar molecules called the glycocalyx. And those sugar molecules in us are NU5AC. They're also in our blood-brain barrier. They're also lining our joints. Now, what's the new exciting research is the more NU5GC containing foods we eat, the more those NU5AC sugar molecules are replaced by NU5GC in the lining of our gut, in the lining of our blood vessels, in our blood-brain barrier, and in our joints. And we actively attack NU5GC as a foreign substance. And if you get NU5GC into your brain, it produces neuroinflammation. Not exactly what you want. And cancer cells, human cancer cells, use NU5GC to produce local inflammation and attract macrophages to actually inflame that area, which lowers oxygen tension, and the cancer cells love it. They can't make NU5GC, so a NU5GC had to be acquired from the diet. Oh my. So it's no longer guilt by association. It is now guilt by causation. And we know the mechanism. And you know, all you grass-fed, grass-finished beef people, don't shoot the messenger. Now, what can you do about it? Here's the exciting news. There's always a workaround.
Thank you. Thank you.
One of the things that impressed me about looking at blue zones is that most of these people are sheep and goat herders, and they eat a lot of yogurts and a lot of cheeses. And believe it or not, fermentation by bacteria, the bacteria eat the NU5GC. So there's no NU5GC in yogurts. There's no NU5GC in aged cheeses, like Parmesan cheese, like Pecorino. It's gone. It's been eaten. And here's the best part. If you traditionally ferment meat, and believe it or not, all meat was fermented way back when because there was no way to store it. So you ground it up into sausages, or you rubbed it with salt, and you fermented all the NU5GC. So a traditional salami from Italy has no NU5GC. Prosciutto has no NU5GC. So there's a way of having your steak and eating it too. Finally, here's the other good news. The less NU5GC containing foods you eat, and the more NU5AC containing foods you eat, the NU5GC is displaced from these various substances. Now you say, well, then I'm just going to eat chicken, not so fast, like I talk about in the book. Our chickens have basically been fed corn and soybeans, and they are a giant omega-6 inflammatory bomb. They're, a chicken is basically an ear of corn with feathers. That's what they are. And you can find really good pasture-raised chicken. I talk about one in the book, Farmer Dan from Texas, who raises lectin-like chicken. And so you can do that. But you're better off with wild shellfish, wild fish, as a source. So yeah, charcuterie board and you'll be fine, and have some aged cheeses. You'll be fine.
That's when I got to that section in the book, I was like, oh, praise Lord, I can eat cheese. Cause I mostly eat, you know, I know it's addictive and everything, but I get imported cheese from European, you know,
yep.
cows,
yep.
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Cheddar, and I can't give it up. So you gave me where you took away my dreams with bananas, lemons, and meat. I got my cheese back. So that's good. Bread, just, you know, we have a few minutes left. You know, I know a lot of people, I mean, obviously we know that our wheat is just blasted with glyphosate and all sorts of GMO things that shorten the stalks, and lectin mania over there with wheat. But what about like sourdough with a sourdough starter? Is that, we've heard that that's simple ingredients. Can our bodies digest that better?
Not in the United States, because if you start with something that's contaminated with glyphosate and other herbicides, all the sourdough starters in the world is not going to fix the problem. And I see that all the time with my patients. On the other hand, if you go over to Europe, remarkably, most of my patients who we've resolved an autoimmune disease can eat those breads or those sourdoughs or, you know, those pasta, and they don't react. And they're, you know, they go, oh, Dr. Guthrie cured me, I can have all this stuff. And they come back and they have our sourdough bread as an example. And within weeks, their symptoms return. And within weeks, we see that their leaky gut is back. And they go, what the heck? You cured me. I didn't cure you of glyphosate exposure. Glyphosate is the great destroyer of everything that potentially could be fixed with fermentation. So be careful.
Okay.
Sorry.
And then, you know, you mentioned other things that kill the gut. And I don't know if I got, you mentioned alcohol, obviously, like some red wine in moderation can.
Yeah. Can help. And believe it or not, champagne, there's several papers that my wife keeps reminding me about that. Champagne is actually good for vascular health in women. And fun fact, vintage champagne, which the alcohol is in contact with the lees for 5 to 8 years, is actually even better for you than plain old everyday champagne. Unfortunately, Prosecco is not aged that way, so that doesn't count. Okay. But yeah, so don't be afraid of a glass of champagne for New Year's. There you go.
Okay, great. And what about stress? Can someone is, I know a stress, you know, really kills the microbiome too. I've heard.
Yes.
Does that factor in your gut check program, or can you just resolve most with supplements and nutrition?
So stress can absolutely cause leaky gut. We've seen it in our patients a lot, a number of patients, particularly females, with an autoimmune disease can tell you literally the day it started, and it was often a stressful event, whether a death of a spouse, a death of a mother or father, an unexpected sudden divorce, the loss of job. And they can, you know, tell you 3 days later, you know, I started, my bowels changed and I got kind of IBS, and then my psoriasis patch popped up, or I was diagnosed with Crohn's or something. Yeah, so that's very true. And there, not only does the gut influence the brain, but the brain influences the gut. So.
Awesome. And then last, like, there's so many probiotics out there. And you have products, so I'm sure you can talk about what's effective, but, you know, Is it effective to take an oral probiotic, or is it killed in the stomach acid? Like, what's the best way to, you know?
Yeah, most of them are killed by stomach acid. There are ways to get them past stomach acid that we and others use. You can use spore-forming bacteria. You can have a non-digestible capsule that releases in where it's supposed to be. But as I talk about in the book, dead men tell no tales, but dead bacteria do. And dead bacteria actually carry huge amounts of information that we're now only beginning to decipher the code on these dead bacteria. So don't be afraid. You don't have to look for active yogurt cultures. Don't worry about that. Dead bacteria will do a lot of good things for you. And I go in the book on how that happens.
Awesome. Well, guys, I'm telling you, the book's got the answers. And thank you, Dr. Gundry, for your work and for, you know, bringing this book and healing to so many people, because I feel like it just through food and awareness, you know, we can do so much to heal our foundation of health with Hippocrates knew about back in the day. You know, that gut and green energy.
That's right. Well, thanks, Kelly. Yeah, you know, you can take back your health. Everybody wants you to believe that you're going to need 6 or 7 drugs by the time you reach 60. And the average 60-year-old is on about 6 or 7 drugs. And that's crazy. These super centarians that I go visit, they're not on any drugs. It's like, what? They're not on age reducers or whatever that means. It's they're doing great the natural way.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yep, I totally agree with you, and I appreciate you making it possible and bringing it into the hands of all of our listeners. So
thanks for having me.
Yeah, we'll see you soon. And everybody go out and get gut check January 9th. Get your gut checked and your health whole.
All right. There you go.
Take care. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Heal Podcast. Be sure to tune in every Thursday for more empowering wisdom and inspiring healing stories. And make sure you hit the follow button on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss that one episode that holds the answer you've been searching for. And please rate and review us so that we can grow and reach more people. Thanks so much, and be well.